Hi, I'm Nancy Dufresne. Welcome to our podcast channel. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
Father, we are grateful, grateful, grateful today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that by your blood we have entrance into the holy place. Glory to God. We ask you, Father, be magnified today in this service. We ask you to be the most seen, and you've already impressed us this week. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, can you say amen, everybody? Amen. Before you're seated, turn to somebody, greet them. You can have a seat today. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, miracles so great. No, there is no one else like you. None can do the things you do. Oh, 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 oh. Hallelujah. Welcome, everybody, to Thursday morning. It's Thursday already. Morning edition of the Jesus the Healer Crusades. Miracles in the morning. In the morning, in the evening. How's it go? Ain't we got fun? In the morning, in the evening. And it has been fun. It has been a joy. You know, God has... As it's already been said, there's great purpose in these meetings. These are not, it's certainly not that there was an empty week on the calendar and nobody knew what to do with it. No, nothing, not even close, right? Not even close. And so there's great purpose. And I think probably towards the top of the list of the purposes is people's needs being met. God is, he is so all in on your healing, on your deliverance, on your help, on your prosperity. He desires to get what Jesus has paid for into your life. Amen. Amen. And the thing about it is, people often have just a single concept of how that might happen, you know? Maybe it'll come from this, or maybe I'll get so-and-so to pray, or this or that. And you gravitate towards the concept maybe you were introduced to the things of God with. But I want you to know that with God, there's really a tremendous variety of methods by which help can be delivered to people. And one of the main methods that so many overlook is the help that comes actually as the word is being ministered. And I think because I don't know if you're a good multitasker. I am not. I'm a one gear, one speed person. You know what I mean? I can do one thing at a time, really. But God can do more than one thing at a time, you know? And you know, while somebody's teaching, he can be delivering. Did you know that? Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. We fully expect in these services, when the word's being ministered, we fully expect results to show up in people by the working of God. And even to what to our minds might seem extreme, but even to the degree of different body parts that might be missing, things that might be missing, coming back while somebody's exhorting and on stage or a song is being ministered, or the word is being, or an offering's being preached, or somebody's talking about a book. Listen, everything we're doing is directed by the Lord in these services. And so we're expecting, are we not? We're expecting the miraculous in every area. And we'll just let God impress us. Amen. In these morning services in particular, we talk about the subject of prayer. I'm going to, my wife ministered yesterday, and it blessed me, and I trust maybe it blessed. You don't need to applaud. You don't need to applaud. You want him to applaud? But I want to have her come up, and one thing we do actually when we minister on prayer a lot, and we almost always do it together, like at the same time. And so we can do it that way, we can do it other ways, but I just want her to come up and that way, nothing is purely my fault. You understand? We share the blame, whatever could happen. So you want to jump in? You want me to jump in? Well, let's go to James, the 5th chapter. Let's do that. You know, you start to prepare for services like this, you quickly realize that just even in one passage, for us to exhaust or even come close to getting out everything that's even in one passage could just take way more time than what we have. So we really try to follow God and get just what's right for these services. And if it's a little of this and a little of that, you're okay with that too? Praise the Lord. Verse 13, James chapter 5 says, is any among you afflicted? And of course, you know, afflicted, it could mean physically afflicted. It could mean going through other kinds of tests or trial or opposition or trouble. Anybody ever had any of that? Sure. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? The answer's in the verse. What are you supposed to do if you're going through difficulty? Let him gripe.
No.
Huh? Let him whine. Let him talk about before we got saved. It seemed like I didn't have any trouble at all. No, let him pray. Has it come to that? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. It sure helps if you know how. It sure helps if you know how. And what is prayer for the believer? It's a way that a believer can make a connection with God. It's a connection point with God. Goes on to say, is any merry? Meaning, is anybody happy? Anybody feel like rejoicing? What are you supposed to do? Let him sing psalms. Brother Kenneth Hagin, who was our spiritual father, used to preach on this verse all the time, and he'd always say, kind of jokingly, he said, you know, everybody wants somebody else to pray. I'm going through difficulty. Would you please pray? He said, well, really, why don't we have somebody else sing when we're happy? She sings because I'm happy. That's not how the song goes. That's not how it goes. No, you sing because you're happy. You sing because you're happy. Right? Well, isn't it crazy to say, well, I'm merry, please sing? For some folk, though, Brother Hagin said, I've heard some people sing, and it's probably better that they do ask somebody else. Come on. But is any merry? What are you supposed to do?
Sing.
What is sing? What is that? That's a connection point. Amen. And as we know today, listen, you don't have to wait till you feel merry. You know, if you're here in the building, people think you're a faith person. And you're already getting all the flack for that. So you may as well get the benefit too. Be one. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me today. You can listen in. But by faith, just start rejoicing like Sister Cindy was preaching this morning. I mean, that's wise. Is any merry, let him sing. Well, by the same token, you need to do your singing for you. You need to learn to do some praying for you in a way that's effective, in a way that gets results. Right?
Yes.
I didn't bring you up here just to make us look better. That's, although, we'll take the benefit. Praise the Lord. Is any sick among you? Well, this really in the Greek has the idea of somebody going through severe sickness. Is any sick among you beyond being able to help themselves? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. A couple thoughts here. Is any among you sick? Let him call. Let him call. You're still supposed to initiate something. Let him call the elders or the mature ones in the church, the ones who know how to practice the preceding verse.
Yes.
The ones who know how to rejoice, the ones who know how to pray. And if you're in a place where you don't, where you can't help yourself either because you're physically going through something too severe, or you haven't developed to the place where you know how to help yourself yet, then call for help. Where's that help supposed to come from? Call the elders of the
church.
Of the church. You know, the word church in Scripture, it can refer to the entire body of Christ, but most of the time it's referring to that local gathering, the assembled ones, the called out ones. You're supposed to call the elders of the church. And it's helpful if when you call, they know who you are.
Come on. Come on. That's the truth.
Huh?
Yeah.
Not just the elders of any church.
Right. 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 Your church.
Your church.
Your church.
And why am I saying this?
Because so many don't have a church.
Yeah, they don't have their church. They don't. That's a problem.
That's a problem.
And that is the problem.
For many.
That is the problem in terms of getting help. If you don't have those that you're all that you're connected with, if you don't know the pastor's name, full name, the full name,
the full name, the whole name.
We speak from experience.
Yes, yes.
We speak from experience. You meet people, you're talking to them. Oh yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah, what, will you go to church? Some of them say, well, I don't do the church thing.
Right.
The church thing.
The church thing.
Church thing. You just revealed your great level of revelation.
Come on.
I don't do, or some will say, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. We have some churches that we go, what? What? Huh? And then some will say, yeah, 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 I go to that church. That church. And I said, he said, it's coming to me. You don't know the name of your church. You don't know the name. And they'll tell me what part of town it is, and I can tell them their church's name. I said, yeah. I said, well, who's the pastor? Because at this point, we know.
Yeah.
And I can tell them the pastor's name. But they can't. You're not where you need to be. Why are you saying that? Because you might be here, and we're happy you're here. Because maybe you see Pastor Nancy on TV, but you know, you still have to have a local church. You still need a pastor. Because as gracious as this ministry is, this verse did not say, call them to come anoint you with oil.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
If you call them and you tell them you're from Fresno, they're going to tell you, call them. Some pastors that are local and get involved there.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Listen, it's just the truth. Some of your help, a great portion of your help, can we say a majority of your help, is going to come through the ministry of the local church. I know this might be basic, and I'm not here to impress the ministers or anything like that. I'm here to catch the ones that don't know this. This is where it's at.
Yeah.
You need to help me more.
This is good though.
Yeah, it is.
So true. Praise the Lord.
All right. Let them pray over him.
Yeah.
Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, really, this is the only passage that I'm aware of in the entire New Testament that talks about what to do if you're sick. Talks about praying for the sick.
Yeah.
Anybody know another passage besides this that talks about that specifically? As far as I'm aware of, This is the only passage, and it's real interesting. You know, we were talking about James the other day. James is the very first book of the New Testament that was written.
Yes.
This was written about a decade after Jesus ascended. And so up until he wrote this, all they had in terms of scripture was the Old Testament,
right,
the law and the prophets.
Right.
And then, you know, oral tradition about Jesus, and maybe some things had been written down, but none of the books of the Bible had been written yet. Mm-hmm. None of the books in the New Testament, thank you, had been written yet. And so this is new stuff. The church was so young. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so you didn't have people necessarily walking around with great degrees of tangible anointing on them. That it just hasn't been enough time to develop people in ministry yet. But so James evidently said, take some oil. They knew all about anointing and oil from the Old Testament, from the priestly ministries.
Right.
So he said, you take some oil and have the elders anoint you with that oil, which would symbolize or represent that anointing that Jesus ministered with.
Right.
That tangible anointing. How many remember when that woman in Mark chapter 5 came up and touched him, and Jesus said, wait a second, I sensed power leave me.
Right.
What happened?
Right.
Who touched me?
Right.
Amen. Well, that power was, how many know when Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came, that power remained here, that anointing remained here, but it took time for people to learn to access these things.
Right.
And so anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, but it wasn't the oil that got them free.
No.
It goes on to say, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Right.
The prayer of faith.
The prayer of faith.
Shall save the sick. Glory to God. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Yeah.
We talked the other day about righteousness. Pastor Nancy ministered on it. And, you know, along with that is the other side of righteousness is you would deal with condemnation.
Yes.
So often.
Yeah.
And there's so many passages that connect sin and sickness. And one of the reasons is you have to deal with that sin side. Amen. You can't receive from the Lord anything that you need if you're overcome with guilt. If you're overcome with feelings of unworthiness, you're not going to be in a place to receive.
Yeah.
Amen. So you have to deal with that. If you've committed sins, glory to God, they'll be forgiven. Whew, what's forgiven mean? Forgiven.
Gone.
Done. Doesn't exist. And then verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. Probably should give some explanation on that phrase, because this is not something that you always have to do every time.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you certainly don't have to call the elders of the church to do it every single time. I mean, praise the Lord. If another was involved in the sin, then you need to go to the other. And make it right. Now, if you and your wife get into what a friend of mine calls intense fellowship. Intense fellowship. I'm not going to ask for testimonies. Well, that would involve another person.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you understand that you can, sin cuts us off and restricts us from the flow of God. Right? And so if you leave things unaddressed, if you leave things undone, if you let the sun go down on your wrath, if you go, you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not, but you can also be angry and sin. Anybody ever done it? you need to repent. What do? If any man sin, What do you do? We have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Well, you can go to God about it. But if that sin involved another person, this is just my experience, okay? My experience is that I have to go to the other person.
Come on.
I have to go to the other person.
Right.
And confess to them.
Yes.
So if the husband and wife get an intent, get in. If the husband and wife get have intense fellowship, it's not enough to just go to God.
Right.
And say, Lord, I'm sorry I just took her head off and called her all those names and said she was a I hear people do that. We don't do that. I've heard other people do that. What you got to do? Now it's time to confess your faults one to another. One to another.
One to another. Very
good. One to another. Usually both need to confess your faults.
Right.
Huh? Takes two, doesn't it? So, I have to go to her. Mm-hmm. I would have to go to her. I knew there's a reason I brought her up here. And I'd have to say, I apologize. Mm-hmm. And I have to mean it. And I said, I'll say, I don't believe any of those things that I called you. And instead of repeating what you said, say what you believe. So, you're my queen, you're my love, and all, yeah. And hopefully it's reciprocated.
And then I have to say, you know, I shouldn't have instigated that. I shouldn't have caused that. Not just say, yeah, you're right, you should be sorry. It does take two. Confess your faults to one another. I shouldn't have pressed those buttons. I shouldn't have gone there.
Thing about it is, I didn't mean to get into this really.
No.
But
we're on our way.
Thing about it is, you don't have to be right all the time. You have to walk in love all the time. What do I mean about that? Everybody wants to be the one that's right.
Right, sure.
Yeah, well, you were wrong and I was right. But your attitude is wrong.
There you are.
Therefore, you're wrong.
Therefore, you're wrong.
Praise the Lord. And so just repent.
Just repent.
Just be quick over on the repenting side. And if you don't think that you're to blame, take the blame anyhow.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Because what does that do? Now, did you hear what she said to me? Right? It was so precious. What she just said to me. The flow of God. If you were sensitive to it, you could sense a flow return. Between us. You could sense a flow when she said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have pushed those buttons or whatever the things that you just said. When that was spoken, there was a restoration of a flow. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. Why? That you may be healed. That the restriction can flow again.
Right.
Pray one for another.
Pray one for another. Praise the Lord. So there's a sense in which we are called to pray for one another. And there's a sense in which if that relationship has been strained, we've got to make things right in that relationship before we can pray for one another. And And yet there's a praying for one another, just that calling the elders of the church. There's supposed to be an effective way to pray for one another. And that's what we want to minister some this morning, how to be effective when we pray for someone else. How to be effective for someone who's you may be married to someone who's just not serving God the way they should. You know, they've decided to go a different direction, or you might have kids that are just not going the direction you'd like, right, with God. You might have extended family members that you think, dear Lord, how in the world are they going to get right with God? There's effective ways to pray for one another. And there's...
By effective, we mean there's an effect.
Right.
There's a result.
There's a result. There's a result. And then there's ineffective ways to pray for one another.
No result. It's not just a right way and a wrong way to pray. It's a way that works or a way that doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Right. No. So, Brother Hagin used to tell a story about Uncle Larry.
Oh, yes.
Uncle Larry. And Uncle Larry wasn't saved. And Brother Hagin, he would get into prayer and say, "Oh, God, save Uncle Larry. Oh, God, save Uncle Larry." And he kept looking at Uncle Larry and thinking, there's no way this guy's going to get saved. But, "Oh, God, save Uncle Larry." I mean, he went on for quite some time.
And he was driving down the street. Remember when he was driving down the street? Yeah, so Brother Hagin was driving down the street and he sees someone and he says, I love that Brother Hagin talked Texas and that God talked Texas back to Brother Hagin. Yeah. Brother Hagin said, "That walks like Uncle Larry." That must be how they say it where he was from in Texas. If you're from Texas, I'm not like, you know, not throwing no shade, as they say. You know. But sorry. "That walks like Uncle Larry." And then he cries out again.
Yeah.
"Oh, God." And he said wasn't sure it was Uncle Larry because he was in really bad condition physically. He had lost so much weight, but it's still, he from behind, "That walks like Uncle Larry." He was walking like Uncle Larry walked. And then he gets past him, that is Uncle Larry. Mm-hmm. And then he cries out again, "Oh, God.
Save
Uncle Larry." And the Lord spoke to him, back to him when he said that. And he said, "That's what I'm a trying to do." Y'all remember that story? God talked Texas. Yeah. Listen, however you talk to God, that's how he'll talk back to you.
Yeah.
He's a God of all dialects.
So the Lord said, "That's what I'm a trying to do." In other words, why was he saying save Uncle Larry? Because Uncle Larry needed to be saved. But Jesus has already come.
Yeah.
He's already died.
Yes.
And paid the price for all of humanity's sin. He's already had resurrection power pull him back out of the grave. He's already ascended to the Father, sitting at the right hand. The blood has already been shed for all humanity. So to say, "God, save Uncle Larry," we're saying, "Jesus, there's something else you need to do."
Right. The blood didn't do the blood. Evidently, that wasn't enough.
Right. So I need you to. So ineffective. We're not getting results with that prayer because it's not the prayer of faith. It's not a prayer, a scriptural prayer. It's not understanding what Jesus has already accomplished. And yet we're still supposed to pray for one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it's not save Uncle Larry, how are we to pray for those that need salvation or those that need more accuracy in their walk with God? Hallelujah.
And really along the lines of healing, I mean, which is the context in James chapter 5, we're talking about pray for one another that you may be healed.
Right.
We could say the same thing that you just said about salvation. You know, God save Uncle Larry. And I love it. That's what I'm trying. What do you think I'm trying to do? He's not willing that
any
Uncle Larry or anyone
should perish.
Right.
And so that same thing, though, that same concept holds true in the area of healing. Will God heal Sister Janine? God heal, God heal Brother Frederick, whatever your name is.
Right.
It's a sincere prayer is not always the most effective prayer. Because if we can say this, anytime you pray, oh, God heal so-and-so, you know, your heart might be right. But and no one's criticizing you. I want you to understand that.
Right.
But if we could do better, would you like to do better?
Yes.
That's all. We want to do better if we can do better.
Right.
More accurate. And so instead of God heal so-and-so, well, he could just as easily answer, well, that's what I'm trying to do.
Right.
When Jesus paid for, you know, he bore those stripes.
Yes.
He was whipped terribly. All the suffering, he doesn't need to do any more of that. That the price has been paid. It's been made available. Now the issue is not getting God to do any of it, really.
Right.
The issue is for us to know how to access what's been made available.
Right.
For
right.
us to know how to partake of what's been laid out and set on the table.
Right.
And if we could say it this way, for those who don't know how to access these things on their own, to make it easy and available for them to be able to access the help they need. That's really the expanded edition of, oh God, save Uncle Larry.
Right.
Oh God, heal Sister Janine. Whatever your prayer is, well, we want to help them connect with God and be in a place where they can receive. Did I blow your groove? Or you?
No, not at all.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And here's something interesting. We use this phrase often, praying for the sick. Like I said, this is the only passage that talks about praying for the sick. And if we think of prayer like most people think of prayer, what do you think of when we think of prayer? Well, we think of asking, usually. We think of going to God and asking. And when people call the prayer line or whatever it is, whatever method they use to try to get help, if you can't help yourself, you think, well, let's call somebody else.
Right.
Who are you going to call? Don't anybody say it. Who are you going Who are you going to... I can't help it. What's that? You going to call the elders, right?
Call the elders.
And it says, let them pray over them. But still, the concept that people have is, well, I don't know how to connect with God. Maybe you know how to connect with God. You ask him. You know him better. You ask him.
Come on. That's good.
Right? You ever had, when we were in school and we were kids, if we liked somebody, like if you liked a girl,
right.
you didn't have the guts
to go talk to him.
So you have great respect for any guy who can just go cold up to a gal and say,
hey
I'm interested. That's you a man. You a man.
That's impressive.
You a man. Man. That's right.
Make the move.
The coach, the relationship coach.
Gotta make the move.
but what do you do? You send a friend. You send a friend.
You say,
go find out.
Go find out.
Just go find out.
Do you think?
And get back to me. And then if you really have no guts, then, you know, sometimes the girls, they'll break up with a guy through somebody else.
Right.
Like, I just say, go tell them we're done. Well, be a woman. Come on.
Come on.
Say do it yourself. And today, all you got to do is block Text. His number.
Oh.
Boom. That's over.
The end.
Change my number. Okay.
So it's not just, I don't know how to pray, so you pray. It might be that when someone's brand new to the things of God, and we need as elders, as mature ones, as believers that have been established in the Word, we need to be able to pray for them. But this idea that, oh, well, I've only been saved for 5 years, so I can't possibly pray for myself.
Oh my gosh, yes you can. Yeah.
That's not what the Word tells us. That's not, I mean, you prayed and asked the Lord to come into your heart when you got born again. Immediately he heard your prayer. Immediately he answered that prayer. Immediately you were born again. You are able to come. Praise God. Remember, we've been ministering on righteousness. You are able to walk boldly into the throne room of grace and obtain in times of trouble, obtain what you need. So it's not just, oh, I can't, so you better. But on the other side of that, there are times where someone's in need of assistance.
Yeah. Let me say this too, and hold your thought. Don't lose it. So talking about getting somebody, getting somebody else to pray, well, we think you go ask, right?
Right.
But even that, in the New Testament, the purpose of prayer is not to ask God to do.
Right.
Again, there was, when this was written, there was no epistles from Paul. There was no other New Testament thing written before this. James. All you had was the example of Jesus. Did Jesus ever ask his Father to heal anyone? Now, the answer is no.
If you look.
Did he minister healing?
Absolutely.
All the time. And so the idea of prayer only being asking God to do something, that's where we have to redefine things, because that's not what it's talking about when it says, call the elders and let them pray over them. It's not to have a corporate begging session. It's not to have everyone else send. It's not for us to get the elders to come because they know how to storm the gates of heaven.
Come on.
And unlock the hand of God. In the sense of trying to get God. That's the mental picture that people have is, well, if you get people that are tight enough with God, they'll get him to do what I can't get him to do. And the better way to think about it is the scriptural way to think about it, which is to understand that he's already done. He's going to do about Uncle Larry's salvation, Sister Felicia's healing, whoever you want to plug in. Jesus has already done all he's going to do about it. There's still a place for prayer. It says, and the prayer of faith. Now, the prayer of faith is not a corporate begging session.
No, it is not.
It's not, let's get together and try to pry. Oh, God. You take the pinky finger. I'll take the ring finger.
Right.
You take that middle finger. It's not. We're not trying to pry God's fingers open until there's, we can get five good prayers. We can get five fingers open. And then I'll come and snatch my healing that he didn't really want to give. You understand? If God didn't want to give it, you ain't going to get it no matter how many friends you got. But, my experience is that this is how people think about prayer. And we use the phrase, well, we're going to pray for the sick. And people think, good, somebody's going to ask God to do something about it. Amen. There is a scriptural way to do this. But the concept that so many have is just not all that accurate. Hello.
Yeah.
So the prayer of faith, what's that? That's simply a prayer to receive. That's a prayer to receive.
Right.
What's Mark 11:24 say?
Mark 11:24.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing whatsoever things.
Whatsoever things you desire.
You desire when you pray.
At the time you pray, believe. Not beg. Does it say beg?
No, it says believe.
With things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive.
Right.
And you'll have. That's our example of what we call the prayer of faith, or a faith prayer. A faith prayer is a prayer to receive. It's not usually a long, drawn-out thing. We lead when we've prayed at the end of the evening services here and helped people receive Christ.
Right.
That was a faith prayer.
Right. Right.
And no, God, please save this person. They look like they're in worse shape than some other people that I've seen. So let's pray harder.
Come on.
No, it's the prayer of faith that shall save the sick. And really the wonderful truth here is that if somebody's in a place that where they're beyond being able to help themselves, and they're rightly connected to some people, as they should be, that know how to pray,
right,
those people can actually come and receive on behalf of that one that's having difficulty.
Yes.
And that's precious.
Yes.
That's precious. That's one way that we can pray one for another, that you may be healed.
Right.
There's another side to this story as well. And that's the side in in James 5:16, where, let me put my helpers on here, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, the prayer of faith, right? Mm-hmm. Receive, that you may be healed. But there's also this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man,
right,
avails much, makes power available. There's mm-hmm. also this concept of praying to make power available.
Yes.
For
yes.
people.
Yes.
Praying to, what you were talking about yesterday,
yeah,
that supply of the Spirit being generated to make it easy for individuals to receive.
Right.
And now you pick up on what you...
When someone needs something from God and they're not receiving it, There's some type of disconnect, right? There's a connection point that's missing. And when we go to pray, so many people, as we just said, feel like God needs to do something else. Obviously, God's not pouring out his healing. God's not giving his salvation. And it's never God's fault. The disconnection point is on our end. Brother Hagen, he was one time, they were, he and another couple, he and Mom Hagen and another couple, ministry couple, they were gathered together at the home of a sick woman. She was on her deathbed. And they were praying. They were spending time praying almost all night. They were taking a few hours to sleep, and then they were getting up and they were praying. And they did this for several days. And Brother Hagen finally said, you know, we've been praying for days. And, you know, we've been asking God to move and asking God to heal and asking God to intervene. And said, we're getting nowhere. So we need to have enough common sense here to realize this isn't God's issue. This must not, it's not on God's end. It's not on the sending end. It must be on the receiving end. And so they made the switch, they made the change, and they went from begging and crying and saying, oh God, please, oh God, please, oh God, please do this, to Father, thank you, you are a healer. Thank you that your power is made available. Thank you that it's so easy for us to receive. Thank you that we can see, what we haven't seen before, and that one that needs to receive can easily access it. And when they went to praising, when they went to just connecting and receiving what God had poured out, she received. She came off the deathbed, and it wasn't but an hour or so that in that change. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah. So we want to learn how to make power available.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
yeah. And see the different sides of this, of what the Bible's talking about.
Yeah.
Amen.
You go ahead.
We good. I want to pray. today. We good to do that, everybody? Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Yeah.
Avails much. What's the Amplified say on that? The heartfelt. You got it right there?
The earnest.
Read it for us.
The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Now listen, heartfelt and continued doesn't mean begging and crying.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we think heartfelt means, oh God, please. We gotta beg and we gotta cry. And that's just so not gonna get you anywhere with God. He's already done it. Heartfelt just means it's from your spirit.
Yeah.
And everything that Miss Cindy read in Psalm 145, he's a good father. He's a good God.
Yeah.
He does good things for all. And when we come to make power available, we've got to keep him in mind. He's good. Father, you're so good. You're so able. And we're so thankful for the power that you've already made available. Thank God that we're able to step in and people are able to receive. Thank God. It's a thanking. It's heartfelt, but it's not heartfelt looking at the person saying, oh God, they really need to be healed. Oh God, look at her. She needs to be healed. No, it's not looking. When we pray, we don't look at the person, the humanity. We look at God and his ability and his power and how much he's already done for humanity. And we go in rejoicing. We go in thanking. We go in heartfelt that he is able. Glory to God. Not only able, willing.
Yes.
Willing. And he told us to come and ask.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Did you read the whole verse? The whole thing, or did
no,
you stop
I did not.
There?
Well, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So we said to you, you know, you just don't see Jesus. For that matter, you don't see Peter. You don't see Paul later on. You don't see people coming and praying in the sense of asking God to do something about the problem. But you do see them praying, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Jesus, how many remember the instance when the person came for healing and the disciples could not help them? But Jesus could.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer. King James, in one of the thing says fasting, but because it doesn't say it everywhere, I discount that because I don't like fasting. I'm just joking. No, there's the truth. There's some truth there. This kind only comes out by prayer. So there are things that require prayer.
Yes.
But it's not prayer in the sense of, oh God, I can't get it done. You do it. It's this making power available. And what we do see how come Jesus got the guy delivered? Because when Jesus said this kind only comes out not by prayer, he still didn't pray for the guy.
Right. That's true.
He cast the devil out, but he didn't pray.
No.
So how could he say that?
He already prayed.
If you look in the very previous section, it shows him alone
praying
before he ever got there.
Yeah.
What was that? Making a supply
available.
Yes. Making a supply available. I mean, listen. When what was her name? Dorcas.
Oh yeah.
In the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And was she the one that died?
Yes.
And
the dressmaker.
yeah. She was the one that died. And the Bible says that Peter went into. First of all, what I think would renew all of our minds is the fact that in the book of Acts, when somebody died, other than Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't just automatically bury them. They called the apostles.
Right.
Come on.
Let's do something about this.
Come on now, pastors, today when somebody dies, how many, when after they die, do they say, hey, would you come minister to them? In our culture, death means done.
Done.
In their culture, death meant call somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not creating a doctrine. I'm just saying that's the Bible, okay? You can, we report.
You decide.
But yeah, so Peter comes and gets her raised up. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't pray. He didn't take her stiff hand and say,
our most gracious Heavenly Father.
he didn't pray like my friend I was telling you about the other day. He didn't say, oh God, she's stiff. She stink.
She's stinking.
Do something. But the Bible does say before he ever addressed her and her knee, he got down and he prayed. Mm-hmm. He prayed. What's he doing? He's hearing from God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it was that. So there's where prayer can be effective in all these situations. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to be, there's individuals who it's going to take a spiritual supply for them to get their help.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
There's people where it takes, these kind come out only by
prayer.
Let's cut this off here.
Okay.
And let's pray some.
Yes, sir.
We good, everybody? Yes. I know this was a lot of little, a nugget here, a nugget there. Hopefully no heresy here or anything
no.
But just endeavoring to, you know, we find this out, friends, the more scriptural we can be these areas, the better results we'll get. God has promised to back up and uphold his word. He'll confirm his word, not what tradition has taught us.
Right, right.
And in the area of prayer in particular, and in praying for people in particular, tradition has reigned in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just how we do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's just how we do it, which is why it hasn't worked real well in a whole lot of cases.
Mm-mm.
But we want to make power available. Glory to God.
Yes.
Father, today we're honored to come.
Thank you,
we
Father.
Thank you for the blood of the covenant by which we're sanctified. Thank you for the open door to your presence that we have.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that we come boldly today.
Yes, Father.
Offering to cooperate with your Spirit, taking our place in prayer.
Yes. Thank you.
Father, you know those who without a supply of your power won't make it.
They just
and Father, we share
it.
Your desire for
you,
people's help.
Yes.
And so, Father, today as we yield ourselves for some moments here to your Spirit, we thank you for help, for deliverance,
for
rescue. Glory to God. And so we lift our voices together in the Spirit, in prayer.
Thank you, Father.
Progressing in the greatness of your power.
the greatness bakoti, the greatness bakora namata, all of the kana destana dostora kasti. Oh, you're good to all. You're good to all. Ambra kaskara bakata, kasti kojelati dora babasti ko. They walk into that power. They walk into your goodness. They walk into your healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jagatalati sikora beligas. Arabakata. Johnny, all that they receive, Johnny Macari, Johnny Macaratina, Casteco, Brantista, Cali, Jive, Gotiga, Jive, Goto, Destiga, Sidobra, Tai, Braki, Gastu, Ga, Danzo, Balisite, Gala, Sigol, Justi, Balistico, Secacido, Nodana,
Canna, Desta, Nando, Stogamaka, Canna,
Iete, Gotana, Casito, Cobate, Mamma, Risa, Ha. Oh, Mama Rizzo, Jose Ninja, Galesi, Cototopa, Galesi, Gaeto, 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 Stasi, Gaeto, Sugorani, Dafrico, Dafrico, Cabre, Dafrico, Cracadilly, Dafrico, Cocusti,
Bracosco, Oh, it's so easy for them to receive. It's so easy for them to receive. It's so easy for them to partake. Bracosco, Brabasanda, Dafrico,
Nena.
Tiebreakers.
Thank you. Praise, 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 praise.
Worship, worship,
hallelujah.
Worship you, worship you, worship you.
Glory, 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 glory.
Jesus.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Praise, 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 praise.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Master.
We worship
you. Thank you, 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 thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Worship,
thank you, Lord.
Worship, worship, worship you.
Oh, we magnify your name. Glory, glory.
Can we lift our voice in thanksgiving in this atmosphere? Just where you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hallelujah.
We believe what you said. We believe what you showed.
Thank you, thank you.
We believe what you have. We believe we will go.
Oh, we bless you. We believe we will do.
believe it shall be as you have decreed.
Our healer, our Savior.
Yes, 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 yes.
Deliverer.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, so good, so good.
Oh, my, my, my. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank
you. Friends, I know we didn't pray extraordinarily long, but what's important is that we cooperated with the Spirit in prayer. And I mean, I am absolutely convinced that things today were dealt with in that extend not just to situations in this room, but to extend
Amen.
Far and wide.
Amen.
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 That's something to rejoice about.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just want to add this as we end this morning. Every prayer is to be a prayer of faith.
Yes, yes.
I understand that we sometimes divide prayer, decategorize prayer. You know, there's prayers of comfort, consecration and things like that. But every prayer is to have faith attached.
Yes, yes.
Meaning even when we pray in other tongues, we leave that place of prayer rejoicing and giving thanks for his goodness, and that he's heard us.
Believing that he heard.
Believing.
And believing that we receive.
Yes, yes, yes. So in that respect, every prayer is a prayer of faith. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Yes.
We trust you've enjoyed this message. Visit us at DufresneMinistries.org to learn of our upcoming meetings, share your testimony, become a partner, or visit our online store. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Dufresne Ministries.